In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, everlasting Father, King of glory, we bless and exalt your holy name in the highest this morning. We thank you, O God, because you've been there for us. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your love and your kindness. From the beginning of the year up until now, what else can we say to you except to say we love you? We thank you. And so, dear Lord, King of glory, at this moment we want to hear from you. We pray that heavens be open. We pray that visitation happen. We pray that there shall be impartations in our lives even this day. We pray and ask, Lord Jehovah, King of glory, that the sure counsel and the pure counsel of heaven shall be made known to us even this day. I surrender myself to you to be used of you even this day to bless our lives indeed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. May please be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to appreciate the chaplain and the leadership of the church for availing me another opportunity to share God's word in our midst. It's one such a privilege I do not treat with any kind of levity, because I know that God will touch our lives. I know that destinies will be reshaped. I know that men and women will be refocused to the glory of His name in the mighty name of Jesus. God has really been working wonders in our lives in this church. I've been privileged to be part of what God has been doing this year, though skeletally. From January 14th, when I came for the chapel retreat, and I can tell you that from that moment, my family and I have been experiencing growth in all areas of our lives. Hallelujah. The testimonies will come at the fullness of time. Praise God. This morning we shall be looking at a topic that says the Lord adds to the church daily. Hallelujah. The Lord adds to the church daily. And from where we read in the epistle, it's taken from a text in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 47. And there, if you look at it closely, what is written there is that the Lord added to the church daily. Hallelujah. That was a kind of a reported account of what happened. They reported it was like a conclusion of a sequence of events. And they said that the Lord added to the church daily. But looking at our topic, he said, the Lord adds to the church daily. That is in present continuous. In some way, does this suggest to us that what the Lord did in the days of the apostles, he's still doing now? Oh, yes, I want to think so. It means that what the Lord did in the days after the Pentecost, that he is still doing that now. Praise the Lord. And he said that the Lord adds to the church daily. As I began to look at this topic, I took particular interest in the whole of the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, because looking at where we took our text from, it did appear, and it does appear still, that was actually a cumulative effect of a series of events. And if we can look at it again, Acts chapter 2 verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I began to look at that chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and that was the first revival after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was at a time when the people gathered and they were endued with power from above, and they began to speak. Hallelujah. They began to manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as they were doing that, people began to marvel. The Bible said that in those days were gathered men from all over the world in Jerusalem, and they were even devout men. People who were seeking God, people who were seeking the presence of God. And they began to marvel at what God was doing. And at a point, Peter began to speak to them and said, no, some of you who were thinking that we were drunk, who were not drunk in any way, This was what was said or spoken by Prophet Joel. I'm just trying to lay a background so that we know how the Lord acts to the church daily. And he began to expound the word to them. He began to minister to them. He began to proclaim Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to them. He hadn't finished the message. And in verse 37, that appears to me like a connection between the ministration of Peter and then the resultant effect that actually gave rise to verse 47. The Bible says in verse 37 that the people asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hallelujah. Peter spoke and admonished them. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Stop the message. Don't continue. We've heard enough. Tell us what we can do at this instance. We want a solution. We've heard you. Hallelujah. And they asked that very question. And to me, that was actually the question that generated the effect in verse 47. Praise the Lord. The question is, are men still asking the same question to us even this day? Are there people who are asking, what shall we do? That same question had continued. I read a small book. The caption was the greatest sermon ever preached. I guess it was just meant to be a captivating title for that very book. But it was about a message preached by Jonathan Edwards in the 16th century. And the message was not a very palatable one. That message was not about how God will bless and enrich you. It wasn't about success and prosperity. The title of the message was Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Hallelujah. And by the time he hadn't finished again in 16th century, Jonathan Edwards, an evangelist, he hadn't finished and people started moving and crawling to the pulpit and said, stop. At this point, you must tell us what we shall do. Hallelujah. We've heard enough of it. Sinners in the hand of an angry God. Tell us, what do we do? And that caused a revival of about 24,000. And people remained in that church after that message for weeks. Hallelujah. And the same thing also happened looking at the ministry of John. We call him John the Baptist. He was the son of Zechariah. So you could call him John Zechariah. Hallelujah. He also preached an unpalatable message to his generation. And the people ran and they were like, what shall we do? He even abused some of them when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, O ye generation of vipers, who told you of the damnation that is about to come? And he pushed them into the water and baptized them. Hallelujah. These were men that had an urgent message. These were men that had messages that had answers to the questions that people were asking. Are there still people asking the question in our generation? Oh, yes. The Bible in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says something that all the creatures groaneth and travaileth even up until now. Hallelujah. Even until the present day. I don't know how you see it. But presently, the high and the mighty, they are asking, what shall we do? The people we even envy and look up to and say, how I wish I could be like this person. What that person doesn't have Jesus Christ is also asking, what shall I do? The question still rages both in the open and in silence. And they are asking, what shall we do? Even those that persecute you, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 29 and 30, when Paul and Silas were jailed, we know about that account, and after being jailed, they were released by the power of the Holy Ghost, and an angel came and released them. The Bible said that the jailer, you could actually put an analogy there, that the jailer could be typified to be the person who was persecuting them, was the person in charge of them. Was the person who would say that this jail must be under lock and key for these two men. When the mighty works of God were made manifest, the Bible said that the jailer came and drew out his sword and wanted to kill himself. In our time, there are still people who are drawing out their sword. They have no solution to their problems. They have no answers to their problems, to their questions. And they're about drawing their sword like that jailer. Who could be typified to be the persecutor of Saul and of Paul and Silas? And Paul said, no, don't kill yourself, we are here. And the man fell down and said, what shall I do to be saved? The same question. Hallelujah. And Paul told him, repent so that you and your household will be saved. Those are the people that the Lord asked to the church. We are trying to lay a background so that we now see how God asked to the church, and then we pray. Those are the people. And they are still asking us that pertinent question. As I began to study and look at the characters in the examples I had given, I discovered, really, three crucial observations. One of the observations I made is that the Lord has always used men to create the platform for addition. Hallelujah. The Lord doesn't go to the street and say, come into the kingdom. He uses men to create that platform. In the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, he used the apostles, the 120 who were actually found in the upper chamber when they were visited by the power from on high. And he used them. He created that platform. The second observation I made is that the men who were used for the addition of the church were consumed by the message they had. Hallelujah. They did not speak about what they believed in with levity. They did not attend to it obliquely and say, it's an aside. The Lord Jesus Christ saves. But if you really want to be saved, it's okay. If you don't, then there's no problem. Hallelujah. No. There was some passion in what they believed in. Most men that God has used to add to the church had this passion. They were intoxicated by it. That was all they thought about. Because the Bible said that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hallelujah. So these men were intoxicated by it. They were not missing words about the message. They had an urgent message for their generation. They couldn't wait to deliver it. Hallelujah. And God has found such men. And he has continued to use such men. The third observation I've made is that when men avail themselves and respond, give an appropriate answer to this question, then the Lord adds to the church massively. There's a massive revival. And I like to say that God has found us as a church worthy. God has found us as an effective church. God has found us as a useful instrument in his hands that he's going to use to add to the church in our generation in this age, in the mighty name of Jesus. Probably, maybe, some of us are still asking the same question, and we are here. And we are still asking, what shall we do? What shall we do? Maybe some problems have weighed you down. Maybe some confusions. You are not even clear about this Jesus that we are talking about. We are trusting the Lord that by the end of this service today, that the Lord will add you to the church in the mighty name of Jesus. What is it that the Lord asked to the church? It's possible, really, that many think about addition to the church in terms of material blessings. Fine and good. The Bible says that every good and perfect blessing comes from the Lord. Scripture says that what is it that you have that you did not receive from above? Hallelujah. So, whatever we get as those who are under God, they are from God. People might just interpret that saying, houses, the church is expanding, then the Lord is adding to the church. Our church just acquired buses, then the Lord is adding to the church. The members of the church are having more money, they are building more houses and they are getting more cars. The Lord is adding to the church. Fine and good. But those things are not as critical as the particular thing that the Lord adds to the church centrally. Hallelujah. When Jesus visited the house of John, Martha went running around and Mary went to the feet of Jesus to study and learn. The Bible said that Mary has chosen that principal thing. That particular thing. Other things, you're trying to be courteous to me, you're trying to serve me meals and all that. Very good. But there is one particular thing, and that Mary has chosen that path. That is to say that there is always a particular sin. And from the ongoing so far, it might not be unobvious to us to say that what the Lord actually wants to ask are souls of men. Hallelujah. The interest of the Lord in all his dealings with mankind is to rake in their souls into the kingdom. That's why the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Every other thing, they are just additions. They will be added unto you. At times, really, even the increase in number of the church does not suggest additions to the church. Hallelujah. Amazingly, that a church has a number does not mean that the Lord has added to that church. If we look at that verse 47 of Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the Bible says, such as should be saved. One of the things that really inspired me to be part of this church was the first time I came and we were welcomed. The chaplain said something, that if you desire to make heaven, this is your choice. I said, this is where I want to be. Hallelujah. It wasn't if you desire to be wealthy. Hallelujah. It wasn't if you desire to be happiest people on earth. He said, if you desire to make heaven. I said, God, this is where I pitch my tent. Praise the Lord. So it does not necessarily mean that we say we want to be 800, we want to be 2,000, we want to be 5,000. And then the Lord brings, that does not really mean that God has added on to the church. Such as should be saved. The church is not really a place where we come and we begin to evangelize and begin to say, repent. It's not a place like a social gathering, and in the midst of the proceedings, we now say, fine, but I think we need to repent and then accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The church is a place where those who have been saved gather, and they are used as instruments based on their experience to save more people. And then God is interested in the souls. In verse 42-41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So you discover in this build up that the people who were actually added were those who had received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm trusting God that he will continue to make additions of those who are saved to this church in the mighty name of Jesus. I read a book again. I don't know whether this story was a fiction or of some sort, or it happened in real life. About a group of young men. They were living by the seashore, really. And mighty vessels passed through that sea, boats and all that. But these ones had lived there for years, and they saw mishaps in that sea. They saw boats, sheep, and all that. They come in there and they capsized. And five of them gathered themselves and they said, look, we have to do something about this. A lot of mishaps and wreckages happen here. Let us pay particular attention to rescuing these people when it happens. So they placed themselves. It was a non-profitable thing to them. It was just a voluntary service. Since they were skilled in swimming, they went to the seashore and stayed there. At each given mishap, they dived into the sea. They rescued people. At each given mishap, they were doing it and people began to notice them. People began, when they do it, people want to give them money. They say, no, we are not doing this for profit. You know, devil is a liar. And they continue to do it in that city and they attracted a whole lot of attention. And then people now say, no, we are not going to really give you money. We are going to erect a structure for you here so that by the time you actually rescue people, or by the time people who are taking a voyage across this sea come around, they might actually take refuge here. They now built a hotel. Praise the Lord. So they built a hotel by the seashore and all that. And they made it a kind of resort. But these men were still particular about saving the lives of men around that sea. But over time, events unfolded and they began to be more comfortable. The people who they were saving were now decorating the place, making it very more comfortable, and it started generating funds, it started attracting attention, it became a site, it's like a tourist attraction. They lost the vision. Hallelujah. Were they added onto? Physically, they were added onto. After all, they transformed the place into a resort. After all, they were now making profit for the mayor or the ruler of that town. After all, the revenue is increasing. That the Lord is adding onto a church does not necessarily mean that our account is getting fatter. Hallelujah. They lost it and they went to square zero. Men began to die again despite the edifice they erected. They lost the vision. God has helped us in this church and has really given us a vision to reach out to those who are unreached. May we never lose that vision in Jesus' name. May that vision be imbibed in each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. May the fire that God has ignited in us, O God, continue to fire on, that the Lord shall add unto his church, really in the mighty name of Jesus. Who adds to the church is also another obvious thing we could see. That the Lord adds to the church daily. Make no mistake about it. A few times, men of God, ministers think it is their intellect that is adding on to the church. They think it's even their popularity, their mien, their carry, the grammar even. That so they begin to, even when they know that this is the word of God, the work of God, they begin to articulate another way of packaging the message. In the event of time, they lose the salt of the message. And the message begins to be filled with only syntax and grammar. Hallelujah. Forgetting the fact that it is no man, no single man as to the church. Jesus said that if I be lifted up from the ground, I will draw all men to me. And he said in John chapter 6 verse 44, that no man cometh to me except the Father draweth him. Hallelujah. So it's not all about your grammar. It's not even the strategic location of the church. GRA. Fine and good. Hallelujah. Let us also take a quick look at the church of John Zechariah. The church of John was not located in Abuja. It wasn't in Lagos nor Port Harcourt. Not even Enugu. The Bible said that he was in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, make ye way, make ye straight the way of the Lord. He didn't even have the best of rest. The scripture described John. And John was not anything very attractive, including his meals. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter your location. It doesn't matter how people see you. But do you have what it takes? The Bible said that all Judea and Jerusalem gathered. They were running to the wilderness. I'm sure at such a time, there might have been other preachers preaching different religion and all that. History has documented that. But that was not the interest of the people. They had been asking this question, what shall we do? And when they heard the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, make ye way. John did not even perform. I said the scriptures. I didn't see any miracle that John opened a blind eye. Hallelujah. John did not even raise the dead. He wasn't even pacifying the people with words. But he baptized and raked in souls unto the kingdom. So it is not about you. It is about the Lord. But the church has a singular role to play. Let's read John chapter 12 verse 32. We'll be rounding up very soon. If you are there before me, you can read. John 12:32. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And I, that was Jesus speaking, if I am lifted up, then I will draw all men to myself. So you discover that it's not the church drawing men unto God. It's not the church drawing men to themselves. The singular role that the church has to perform is to lift up the name of Jesus. That's all. Very simple rule. And how do we do that? One way we could do that is as seen in where we were reading or the chapter we're considering this morning, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 36. The Bible said that Peter stood out and declared and told them, after they asked him that question, what shall we do? He said that this same Jesus is Lord and Savior. Declarations. And if you have studied that very chapter of Acts of the Apostles, Peter at some point will say, let me speak freely. Let me speak expressly. That he had a lot of authority in his voice. Hallelujah. And he was not making any mistake about it. He was not missing words. He told them, no, there is nothing else. And even in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 verse 12, one of my most favorite scriptures of affirmation of lordship of Jesus Christ, he said that there is no name, none given unto men under heaven by which we might be saved except that name, Jesus Christ. Chapter closed. Praise the Lord. How else can we facilitate what the Lord is doing in our lives and in our midst? By preaching the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. One interesting thing I've found in the church here is the opportunities and tentacles that God has availed unto us to be used of Him to reach out. To be used of Him to reach out, really. So many. If you are not in this one, you could be in the other. If you are not in this one, you could be in the other one. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I have tested it. It is working in my life. And I've seen the despair, hopelessness of our generation. I could make myself available. Preach the word. Hallelujah. And when we do that, the Lord will add unto the church. What else can we do for the Lord to add unto the church? A united church. We don't have time again, really. But in that Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the Bible talked about how they were all together, how they had a singleness of heart, how they were praying together, how they were breaking bread together. And he said that they found favor before all men. They were found praising God, found favor before all men. And the Lord added unto the church daily, as should be said. And the Lord is still adding unto the church. Praise God. How else? What is our role for the Lord to add unto the church? The Bible speaking in the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 16. It says that when Herod had arrested John the Baptist, that Jesus left Galilee and bypassed Nazareth, and he went unto Capernaum, and that the people who dwelt in such a very thick darkness, paraphrase, began to see the light of God. Hallelujah. In our working places, in our day-to-day lives, do people who dwell in great darkness, do they see the light? Say, this one is different. We hadn't spoken. But if you study the account in that Matthew chapter 4, the Bible may record that Jesus had never preached. It wasn't about preaching this time around. In fact, he had just been baptized, went and was tempted of the devil, and then immediately he heard John has been arrested. He hadn't spoken any word to anyone. And he now went to Capernaum. I guess, really, that he went there and lived amongst them. Because the Bible said that he dwelt amongst them. Where we dwell in our working places, in all the things that we do day to day aside preaching. Because it was after then that the Bible now says that from there he began to preach. And then from there, that was even before he got the disciples, the 12 disciples. Praise God. These are the roles of the church. A prayerful and a praiseful church. In the same Acts chapter 2 verse 42 and 47. The Bible said that they were praying. It was a praying church. And also in verse 47, it says they were praising God and then finding favor with all men, and the Lord added unto the church. Hallelujah. I'm concluding. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 before we round up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19. If you are there before me, you may as well read.
Have we put in their trespasses to him, to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there is a commission from what we have read, that God through Christ started ministry of reconciling men who were wallowing in questions and despair, hopelessness. And that when Christ had finished, that God called a certain group of people. This time around, not Peter, not Paul, but you and I, and has committed unto us this very ministry that will make the Lord to add to the church. The ministry of reconciliation. And the Bible says, it really does not matter how you see it or what you think you are. But do you carry God in you? Do you have what it takes? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, it says that earthen vessels carrying God. For we have these treasures in earthen vessels. The presence of God working in us, reconciling men unto the church. That's what adds to the church. Having this very treasure in earthen vessels. I don't know how we've been seeing ourselves over the time. I don't know whether we have seen ourselves as a people who have been placed in that vantage point to be used of God, to be added unto the church. I don't know what has been belittling you in your mind psychologically and makes you feel you can't do it. I really don't even know whether you are still asking the question, what shall I do to be saved? The power of God and His grace is present here to save, even this day in Jesus' name. We shall be standing up to pray with this scripture. In the book of Matthew chapter 12 verse 13, the Bible says that he that does not gather with me scattereth. Hallelujah. He didn't say, if you don't gather with me, you may as well stay. There is no in between. It's either you are in this business of reconciling men to God, adding men, souls into the kingdom, or you are against it. Hallelujah. There are some positions in the scriptures that I find very interesting. And one thing I found very interesting in the scripture is that there is no in-between line. You are either here or there. That the church is good, let them continue. I'm not against it, I'm not for it. No. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. May we not at any time scatter in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall we rise to our feet? I don't know what you have heard. I don't know the impressions that God has made in your heart. But the Bible in the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 52, it says something. Was actually, warning a group of people. And it says, woe unto you lawyers. Woe unto you lawyers. It says that you have the key of knowledge of the kingdom, but you do not enter the kingdom. And you are not even allowing those who are entering to enter. That is to say, Are we in church? People see us as those who know God, but we are not in God. And we are not even allowing people to know God. Does that typify our life in any form? I'd like you to pray for yourself. We're going to just make two prayers. We're asking God, in this era, in your business of adding to the church, I make myself available to be used of you. Pray that as a personal prayer. In this age and time, when there is so much fear and fretfulness, when there is so much trepidations all over, and people are asking the same question, what shall we do? Lord, make me an answer to that their question. Lord, make me an answer to that question in my family. Lord, make me an answer to that question in the circles where I find myself. Use me and make me an answer, that I shall have account of souls added to the church that are from you. Use me, Lord. Make me an answer. And before I hand over to the chaplain, perhaps, you are here and you are asking that same question. What shall I do? You've tried so many things. I tell you something. I got born again in 1997. At such a time, for my age, at that point in time, there was nothing impressive again. And I started asking the same question. I control so much money that not so many of my mates could control. I had so much liberty at such a tender age, but they meant nothing to me. In fact, I was not going to church for upward of 1 year. And one day I asked someone, take me to the church. I want to encounter something that will give my life a meaning, something more meaningful. And I got to church and got born again. Maybe today is your own day. Probably you have even been coming to the church. I would like you to start making a personal prayer, even as I hand over to the chaplain.
I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Your chest and the rest, you are praying. He has committed unto you the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, with what soul am I ending this year? With what soul am I finishing the year? Lord, with how many souls are there in my account? I want to be part of the workforce. I want to finish strong. Open my mouth. Open my eyes. Give me unction. Put passion in my heart. Make a declaration before God and see Him take you through the remaining days of this year with souls unto heaven like I am, with joy I cannot quantify, with those blessings hanging that have been attached to your account that will come down. You're putting your right hand on your chest. You want to make peace with Jesus? Repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You love me. You gave your life on the cross and died for me. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Let your power be at work in me from today. Write my name in the book of life and forgive me my past and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, if you prayed that prayer, just come out here. Let's pray together with you. We take this song, My Lifetime. I give God my lifetime. And if I give God my lifetime, He will take care of it. He will never let me go. If you pray that prayer, please just come out here. Let's pray together with you.
My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime.
You put your hand on your chest and you say, Jesus, come into my life. Please come out here.
My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime.
We're waiting for you.
If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never ever let me die.
Take the boldness and walk out. Let's pray with you. My lifetime, You who are standing, are you committing this lifetime? One more month to go. One more week to go. Are you committing the responsibility of speaking to souls to their account? If your spirit does not bear witness to the spirit that you're a child of God, please walk out. We want to give you every opportunity not to be devoured. Is there anything that can disqualify you from the ministry of reconciliation? Is your life? Are you alone? Is it shining? Is it bright lit? Tell the Lord now. Tell the Lord now. Father, shyness is my bane. Lord, it's helping that is my bane. Lord, it is my way of life that is my day. Today you'll be set free to proclaim the ministry of reconciliation. In the name of Jesus we pray. Blessed Father, this word was once handed down to us by the fathers, undiluted with the same power of lifting up Jesus so that all men will be drawn to him. Lord, here we are. Some of us are finishing the year poor. Some of us are finishing the year with no account. Some of us are finishing the year with excuses. Some of us are finishing the year with reasons. Some of us are finishing the year with our own businesses. And the one business that heaven is looking out for to make our blessings and our laughter full, God, we have shied away. Today, we want to go out and finish strong. Going everywhere with our lives and with our mouth, preaching the word. And Father, may you follow after your word with signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. May souls be saved. May reconciliation be made. May our words be the altar that you use to bring men and women by reason of the Holy Ghost to conviction and to conversion in the name of Jesus. Father, keep us at an ease until we have been harbingers of bringing a soul into the account of heaven. Now, heaven may look forward upon our lives and rejoice and release the blessings and make us finish strong. In the name of Jesus Christ, put boldness upon our lips. Put comfort and confidence upon our mouth. And Lord, may the unction of the Spirit, as we have the burden, and pray upon them and speak out, bring souls unto salvation. And let this church grow truly in character, in depth, in numbers, and in spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the 596 registered on the roll. But Lord, we are not satisfied. We will not rest on our oath. We ask you, God, to extend the 600, extend the frontier. There are many more who need to be saved and who need an intimate relationship with their Father. Use us, O God. Fulfill our joy. Put spring in our feet. Give us the glad tidings this season of Advent. And may we be harbingers and herald of your great tidings and bring them home, even unto salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless our lives. Bless our lives. Those blessings, none shall remain, O God. None shall hang, O God. None shall be outstanding in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, our laughter shall be complete in the name of Jesus. Make us obedient. And as we are on the way like a laser, fulfill your word.